Okay, a couple of things. There are two handouts. Sonia, would you hand out those to those who didn't get them? There's a chart, and then there's an article. The article that I had printed is from Table Talk. If you get Table Talk, it's February 2000s. This February's Table Talk. So if you get it, it's in here with some pictures. I usually do articles without all the, I usually print things for Harry without all the pictures because it takes up so much paper. But there are some pictures in here just to kind of, you know, let you know what's going on. But that article, and then there is a chart that we'll talk about. Let's see which one is it. Yeah, this one. About the feast. It's kind of to help you understand when they are and all of that. So I want you to have both of them so that you can get some idea of what the scriptures are saying. Of course, the scriptures are where we go, but this article helps put them together in, not in a detailed form, I mean, not detailing everything that they do on those, what those feasts were about, but giving us some general information about them. We talked some last week about where do we find the feast. Oh, what I was going to do first was going to go ahead and say, as we're doing this overview, I have ordered, or had the bookstore order for me, a book that is a study book, you know, like you do 5 days and then 5 days of the week, and then we come and talk about it 5 days. That's over 8 or 10 weeks, I think, a study. I want to look at it to see what it's like before I say that's what we're going to use. But if it's a good book, we'll probably use that as your basis of something that you can have in your hands and study. I'm also considering, there it is. Mary Lou had this book. Some of the things his eschatology is not our eschatology. I think they're still $3. So I might order this for you for next, you know, for the fall to take and read. It's interesting how a Jewish person has become a Christian and looks at this, at the feast. Most of the books that are written about the feast would be written by who do you think? When you look on the internet and try to find books about the feast, most of these are Christian Jews, Messianic Jews, they call it, because they had grown up doing the feast. And as they came to know the Lord, what happened? They looked back at the feast and their eyes are, well, like, opened. Wow, that's how Jesus fulfills it. And that's how I want us to kind of think about these things too, is, wow, we've read these, but what, instead of being centered in on the feast, we centered in on Jesus and what he did. And most of the time when we center in on the feast, which one do we center in Christ? What feast? Passover. And because we know that Christ was crucified on Passover. And so we settle in there and think about how he was that Passover lamb, etc. And that's, but when we talk about trumpets, Pentecost, we think of Pentecost too. Why? How do we see that connection? Well, not the resurrection. And the ascension is not Pentecost. What is Pentecost? The church. Because that's when the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and they preach at Pentecost and 3,000 souls are saved. So, yeah, it was at Pentecost. So we think of those two feasts particularly and see how they are fulfilled in the New Testament. But the others we don't have as much information about. But if we delve into them and look at them, we'll be able to see a lot more information. So it's kind of that thing that's, and then when you look at it, you may be like I was when I was studying for this. I'm going, oh, how do you count this? How do you count this? How do you do this? Why didn't it tell me more? I want more information. So, So we're going to have more information next year. I've got one book I'm thinking about ordering. I want to see if they have it in the library first, but I can't figure out how you find a book in the library if you don't. The computer that they have there just seems to be for checking out. You know, I want one that I can put in, do you have this book? And they'll tell me yes or no. And I can't find it yet. So, I mean, that's not what the computer that I looked at did. So, just some quick things, just some kind of interesting things about their year. As we said, the Hebrew year was what? What kind of calendar they use? It's a lunar calendar, which is 28, and as you'll find out, sometimes 29. They had to put in a few of these to make it to be a true year, because you can tell when the year begins. If you, it was interesting to me in one book I read a long time ago. Well, not a long time ago, but a book about Noah, that it was telling how they knew when the season, well, you know when the seasons are, but how the sundial, the girl in this book, had a place, and every day she marked where the sun's shadow was, like a sundial. And so she knew when it got back here, that was a year. The earth had revolved around the sun, right? Sun doesn't revolve around the earth. The earth revolves around the sun. And so they knew as they did, they counted from the lunar instead. So they start their month with the new moon. I don't even know what the new moon is. I think that's, huh? It's dark, yeah, but I don't know. I'm not sure exactly when it is, except for I can look at my phone and go to my weather, and it tells me the phases of the moon. So the new moon is dark. But how do you know that? I don't know. You just, and watching it, if you watch it every night, you know. It's all dark. So you can't see it. Yeah, it does. Well, that would be the first little section of the new moon, you know, after the new moon. And they have names for every day. It's a different name almost. Globulus and gibbous and waxing and waning and all of this kind of stuff. The middle of the, and you can mark it this way, the middle of the month being 28 days is what? Is the 14th. But what happens on the 14th? Is the full moon. So the full moon is the middle. Now, in our calendar, as we talk about the Passover, what month do we do the Passover? If nothing else, you have your little chart here that will tell you.
Spring.
Oh, it doesn't, yeah, it does give, no, that one did not, that one gives, Passover, the month of Abib, but, I was thinking it was Nisan. I have to look again. But it's the first month of their year. The first month when they were in, let me look at that. Cause after I did this, I looked and I thought, some of this stuff doesn't seem quite right. But it was in the ESV study Bible, so it had to be right, you know. Huh? Oh, I did. So what does it say? I was thinking it was Nisan in the scriptures. Yeah, Nisan. So, and they've got Abib. So, but why in the world do they have Abib? I don't know. Maybe I typed it wrong. That could be. Again, I'm not perfect. So the first, after they came out and after God gives the commandments, he says, and the first, now goes, here we are, and the first, how do I want to say it? At the first, your first month of the first year, this is where they were going to start counting. All right, because this is how they came out of Egypt. All right. All right. You shall keep the feast of festivals. First, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, Exodus 23 does not give the Passover. That's why I thought it did. Deuteronomy 16 does and Leviticus 23 does. And it's of the first month and the 14th day. So what day would that be? What would be the moon? Full. And that would be the day that you start Passover. The appointed feast in Leviticus 23. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, the holy convocation. In the first month on the 14th day of the month at twilight is the Passover. So you celebrate that, and that's a full moon, which is really, you know, here you can know that they celebrated it on a full moon. And it would probably always be a full moon, okay, because it's on the 14th day of the month, and their lunar calendar. And then, now that one doesn't say which month it is, does it? It just says the fourth of the first month. So Nisan is the first month, I think. But this one has Abib, so we'll have to find that out. Question, write down question for next year. Why? I'm not going to answer it now. I don't know the answer. Question for next year, Janelle.
Do you think it had anything to do with the fact
that Moses was able to see better? Well, in the first Passover, that makes sense. But it was when God told them. So God chose the day. And they're celebrating the first Passover. And what did they do? They sacrificed the lamb in the evening. Remember, the Hebrew day is from dusk to dawn. Or it's morning and evening, morning and evening. So, evening and morning. It's evening to evening is what it goes, because it's 24 hours, evening to evening. So you have dusk, and you have it getting darker, and that's when they were to do the Passover, because in the night, the angel, they had to do the lintel with the blood, and the angel would pass over those houses that had the blood on the doorpost, okay? So it would make sense that in God's providence, that it would be a full moon, because by the next morning, what were they to do? They were to leave. And that's when the unleavened, on the 14th, and then on the 15th day, it would be the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is often combined, like in Exodus, it's combined together, on that chart, I think. They put it together, because they put Passover and the 14th, and then they skip the first fruits on the 16th. But they're seen as one because they come one day apart. And then they would leave. They would have only unleavened bread because they were traveling. They were getting their clothes, everything with them. And that next day, after the firstborn sons were killed to Pharaoh, he said, get out. And they left. And so for 7 days, they would eat unleavened bread. And then on the 16th day of the month, and this is where I was going, pulling my hair out. I had to pretend like I had to have me a calendar. Not necessarily the right calendar, but on the 14th day, I put the Passover. We know the Passover was on 3 days before Jesus rose, because he rose on the first day of the week, right? All right, so we know then that he ate the Passover and was crucified on Passover. If I get that too close to my arm, that's it. And so this is the 14th day he was crucified, and then the unleavened bread starts here, but we know he had to come down from the cross Friday and be buried before Saturday started, because that was the Sabbath, and they couldn't bury on the Sabbath. And then we know that he didn't rise on the Sabbath, but he rose on the first day of the week, which is now what we call our Sunday, our Sabbath, Christian Sabbath. So as you look at this, you realize that Jesus fulfilled what the Passover was all about, didn't he? And he was crucified, he was sacrificed as the Lamb of God And he was, as he had said, he said, I will be 3 days and I will return. If you tear this temple down, I will rebuild it in 3 days, saying that I will rise again from the dead in 3 days. Then, this is now day 14, 15, and then from the evening to the morning is the 16th day, which is the first day of the first fruits. What does Paul say about Jesus? He is the first fruits from the dead. He is the first fruits from the dead. Now, there's a whole lot more in that than I'm telling you right now. But then, as you count, because it says, then the Feast of Weeks, which we also call Pentecost, you see it's there on the chart, is 50 days from the, 50 days from the last Sabbath, from the last Sabbath, first Sabbath of the Feast of Passover and of Leavened. So you start, how did I do that? You go 7 weeks and you get to, you start, and counting their calendar and their dates is really hard. You get to 7 weeks and then go to the next first day, the day after the Sabbath, and you get 50 days where Jesus, where Pentecost comes. Now, Jesus has ascended on the in 40 days, and we're back here. And at Pentecost now, the church, the gospel goes from the Jewish to everybody, to the world. And a neat fact was that on Pentecost, when Peter preached, how the Holy Spirit came upon them. How many people were converted? What does it say? How many added? 3,000 were added that day. And you got it right there. After God gave the law and the people sinned, do you have any idea how many people were killed because of their rebellion after Moses came down from the mountain with the tablets and threw the tablets because he saw the people were sinning and doing wrong things, sexual immoralities were happening, and they were worshiping an idol. Do you know how many people were killed? It was 3,000. It was 3,000. And isn't that amazing? The things that God has planned in Perk. Now, they were killed by the ones who did not go into this debauchery and everything. Were told to go and kill those who took part in this, and 3,000 were killed. And it's in Exodus. Uh-huh. That was a different time, I believe. That was for a different thing. I don't think the earthquake was with the rebellion of Korah and yeah. There were several times. Okay, let me get over past the bronze. I didn't write this date down. When he comes back down. Okay, comes down with the golden calf. Yeah. He was trying to make them, you know, undermining and that kind of thing. Yeah. No, Miriam, there was a lot of things that happened on those days. Let me look back up and get that reference for you for the 3,000. Right now, I did not write it down, or maybe I did.
And that happened to me.
Okay, let me see. Look up Pentecost here. Well, you read it, but like me, you just read right over it. All right, Exodus 32:28. Mm-hmm, it's right there. And it's so far into Exodus that you think it's not going to be there. I went too far. Exodus 32. Oh, and I know what too. I was looking at, was using two different Bibles, so I'm looking on the wrong side of the page to try to find it. They had broken the law, and God does say, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me, yes. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him, and he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, put your sword on your side, each of you, and go to and fro from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill his brothers and his companion and his neighbor. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day, about 3,000 men of the people fell. And Moses said, today you have been ordained for the service of the Lord, each one of you at the cost of his son and of his brother, so that he might bestow a blessing on you this day. And it appears that they were the Levites, and they went only to their sons and brothers, because they were to be the servants of God's house. They were to be, they're not priests, but they were the ones who were to take care of God's house. And so because these who did not, who were of that tribe of Levi, did not come to Moses and gather with him and showing support, these of the Levites who did were to kill the rest of them, the rest of their sons and brothers. That seems harsh to us, but they were leaders. They were leaders who determined and led the people away. I mean, even Aaron led the people astray by, you know, building the altar, the thing. So, it is fascinating to see that even as those, because think about it, 3,000 of the Israelites killed, that would mean the whole mountain was full of other Israelites who came, but it was the Levites who came to him. So, we see some more details, some more things that now God has given and opened up the gospel to 3,000. And probably at Pentecost, mostly Jews, but you'll see that it goes to the rest of the people later. So, what we see is Sabbath is mentioned first because it's neat because after, I saw this and I'm not sure where I saw it. Again, if you don't take notes, you're in trouble, right? As the Lord talks in 23 of each of these, talks about the tabernacle. I think it's in Leviticus. He talks about all these feasts, and then after he does that, he begins with the feast, with celebrating weekly. And then he goes about the, here we go. The feast in 23. And then in chapter 25, this is of Leviticus, he begins to speak about the other, they're not feasts, but the other, regular things, and he talks about it a little bit at the beginning of chapter 23 when he talks about the Sabbath. Remember how he said you have 7 days, the seventh day you rest, 6 days you work, seventh day you rest. You have 7 years, remember, and 6 years you work, the seventh year you let your fields lie fallow, I think is the word. And that is a Sabbath year unto the Lord. Well, here in 25, the Lord talks about now you have the seventh year, and now in verse 8 and on, you count 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7, so that you have 7 weeks of years shall give you 49 years, and what do you have in that 50th year? The year of Jubilee. So he's giving rhythms of life to live by, But as he's giving these feasts, he talks some about the, in 24, about the lamps and the bread and some other punishments for blasphemy. Then he comes and he talks about, God gives the commandments about the weeks, how they are, you have 7 weeks of, and 1 year, six days you have, let's see, wait a minute. For 6 years you sow your field, and on the seventh year you let it go rest. And then you have the seven weeks of weeks. So you have 50 years and you have the year of Jubilee. So see how God is just working. And I don't know, I think I've heard, now this is just a heard, that it's in the a year of Jubilee that Christ is crucified. I don't know if that's true or not, because they seem to not celebrate the year of Jubilee. We don't hear of them celebrating it in the historical books. We don't hear of them celebrating much of this. Passover every once in a while. The year of Jubilee, that God has set us free. He's come to redeem us and set us free. In the year of Jubilee, all debts were forgiven. And Christ has brought the year of Jubilee, not being a physical year.
Does the time
sevens, seven, seven, sevens. It's that six days rest, 1 day sanctified to God as holy, 6 years work. That says 6 days rest. 6 days work, 1 year is set aside to worship God. 1 day, oh, what am I saying? I can't even say it right. 6 days labor, 1 day rest. 6 years labor with the rhythm of the weeks, 1 year set aside for rest. And then the Jubilee is 50 of these times. Now, did they keep any of this? I don't know.
That's why they were sent to,
one of the...
Their return from exile was based on that.
On the Sabbath, you didn't...
The rest that they had not...
Yeah, and I don't know whether that means years or Sabbath years, or what exactly. But it's because they did not keep God's commandments about the Sabbath. And that's why it was so important. And these feasts are on top of that. They go along with it, and they expand what we do with Christ and what Christ has done. And they're giving a picture of what was to come. Those are some of those things. But, you know, as we look, we have the Passover unleavened bread. We have Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, with this is when the gospel goes forth. Where's my chart? We have the Feast of Weeks. That's also Pentecost. And this is at a bringing in of harvest. God is showing that here you bring the harvest in. What happens on that Feast of Weeks, and these are just cursory again, is that that's the one where they have the crop, they bring in the sheaves, and they wave this, they give the sheaf to the priest, and he shall wave it on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it, which would be a Sunday, which is when Christ is the first fruits. And these are to be the first fruits. And here is one where there is an offering, a grain offering, a food offering, a drink offering, shall be offered to God. And because saying thankful for God for giving us this, built into, I think it's the weeks, is that you do not pick up your gleanings. You know, when they would harvest, they don't have combines that go through and get everything, but when they would harvest whatever crop it was with the sickle or the grapes, however, they were not to pick up the pieces that fell, and they were not to glean to the corners of the fields. And who do we hear about that making such a Ruth? She was, Boaz allowed her, as well as others, and that's what they were to do, is to bring to be able to glean of their fields. And as we know, Ruth was one of the ancestors of Christ. She was in that lineage. And she was protected because of this laws given about the first fruits and the things that they should do there. And it was a law of saying thanksgiving. It was dedicating. You see over here on your chart, the significance of the Sabbath is creation. That was a creation ordinance. That's what God did. It reminded us of His work. Passover was for our salvation. The first fruits and the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost were based on the harvest. And they were a dedication that here is what you've allowed me to have this field and you've allowed it to grow. And here I'm bringing to you because it's from you an offering. I'm dedicating what I'm doing to you. And the trumpets is a solemn assembly of spiritual preparation. And then the Day of Atonement, which we don't talk too much about, but that is showing us how Jesus was crucified and how it was to be outside the gates. It was to be this way and that way. And it talks about the scapegoat and the Passover lamb, the scapegoat and the lamb that would be to be sacrificed for the people and their sins. It was about redemption. And then the Feast of Booths would be a remembrance, going back. And maybe that's something like, I'm just off the top of my head just now thinking, remembrance, what does that remind us of? The Lord's Supper, where we remember these things. So, I can't remember. I can't remember which one of these is to be like Yom Kippur. If that is Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur. But there's one that's not listed, but they talk about Rosh Hashanah as the New Year. And I'm thinking if the first month is in the spring, the New Year's over here in the fall. How does that? Okay, yes. Yeah, and that's as the trumpets is in the fall, late September, in the seventh month. And so you're wondering, how do they count? Now I have I've looked up online for months of the Jewish calendar, and it has it starting with Nisan and then going on to Adar Bet, which is the leap month, because every so often, I think it says, lunar months are not all 30 and 31 days long like our month, but rather 29.5 days. And ours are what? There was something that had it. Ours are, you know, we're 365 days, so we have that 4 days that we have to split up. So it would be less than 29.5. It'd be probably 30 or 30. We work it out with the 30 and 31. So half days are impossible to factor into a calendar. So the Hebrew calendar is broken down either into 29 or 28 days monthly increments. And it appears that it goes, no, not quite every other. So it goes almost every other, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, until you get to about October.
They only have 365 days.
No, they still have 365. I mean, they have 365 days in a year, but in their calendar, they don't. You're right. And so they have a leap year month, and I read, I think, that it's only done every 19 years, but I'm not sure that I read it, but I cut that part off. I didn't copy that part. So they have a leap year month that has 29 days. So if you add all that up, maybe you can figure it out. Yeah. No dumb questions. First harvest. You have harvest all year. Remember, if you're a farmer, you know this. I'm not. But you bring in certain things in the spring come in that you've had your winter crops probably. Barley is, where's Ruth? Ruth is in the first fruits, I think. The barley harvest is first. So you have them around the times that the harvests are. So you have, you'll grow one field, may have, I have no idea what to tell you because I'm not a farmer. One field may have, barley. You harvest all that, maybe, you know, dig it up again, plow it under, and then you may plant another crop for the summer. But you also have trees that give you, you know, you have, not all of this is, wheat and stuff. You have grapes that yield at a certain time of year. You have, you know, one thing said they knew it was spring, it was summer because, I mean, they knew it was the first of the year because the almond trees, if you've ever seen an almond tree bloom, it's beautiful. They have the white blooms. It comes at the first of that month. And then they know this is the first of the year because they see the almond trees blooming. You know, it's sort of like, here's this telltale thing, the Lenten roses are blooming, so I know it's February and March because they start blooming in that time. And certain ones we know, these are blooming, this is the fruit. So, you know, you have these clues that if you live long enough, enough years, you're watching, you know which flower blooms what time and which flower, what is the succession of the flowers that bloom. And they know what the succession is of the crops, as our people do now. People do now, you know. So that's a good question. So keep giving me good questions because we're going to write them down as during the year as you want to read on this and read about it. Write down your questions. Like mine is, where is the first of year for them? And why do they celebrate it in, what was it, trumpets in the seventh month? Why do you celebrate the first of the year there when the first of the year is, the first month is Nisan? Wouldn't you think that would be the first of the year? Maybe not. Maybe that's just, I don't know. I don't know if we can find that answer. So, huh?
When we get to heaven,
there will be no years. Yes, so I'm going to get a pencil, and I'm going to write down some of these questions. What other question did we have? Huh? Oh, yeah. Michael Card's Jubilee, Jubilee. It's become the year of Jubilee. Debt forgiven, slave set free. It's the year of Jubilee. All right, what were some of the questions you want to answer? Anybody remember what you wrote down?
Are they still doing
it
today?
Okay, yeah. I know they still do the unleavened bread and the Passover. Now, they have the Passover Seder. We've had people come and do that. They still... Well, and Purim and Hanukkah, they do. Those were not the original ones given in Exodus into the people, but they came not commanded by God, but they came celebrating something like we celebrate Independence Day or Thanksgiving. Nobody else celebrates Thanksgiving. Our country, I think, is the only one that has a Thanksgiving Day. So, you know, these were added as the years went by, as festivals, May Day. You know, things like that. We have for some reason, the 4th of July, we have because of our Independence Day. But it wasn't written, it wasn't written into the Constitution, but it was celebrated because that was our Independence Day. Okay?
You know, Cindy, somebody that might be able to put some of this in perspective is the pastor that pastors that Messianic
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's about every book that I found is written by a Messianic Jewish pastor.
There is one in Birmingham. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know his name.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. And there's people that are very good at that, too. So they could ask, what ones of these feasts do they still celebrate? Do they celebrate Pentecost with anything special? You know, all these things. So, I don't know. I can't give you an answer.
As you go to New York,
Uh-huh.
There's a huge Hasidic Jewish community, and on their balcony of where they live, they will have
a little tent kind of thing.
Tents and leaves, certain kinds of trees
mm-hmm.
built, and they participate in
mm-hmm.
celebrating that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're the same. Mm-hmm.
It seems like I heard, and Cindy, I wanted to know if you know this, that the tabernacles represent when we're all brought to heaven.
I think so, but for them it represented leaving Egypt and having to live in tents for 40 years. It was remembering that. But I think if, as a Christian, we can look at that as we are pilgrims in this world. I'm not exactly sure. I read it a little bit here, but I didn't write it down.
And it's also referencing the tabernacle, I think, and the fact that God, the Shemite glory,
mm-hmm,
resided
mm-hmm.
in the tabernacle.
Yeah. For them, it didn't at that point because he if it's Feast of Booths was more for, I think, more for the booths. You left Egypt and you lived in booths, but it probably became, and they built a tabernacle, maybe, but they... Yeah, so it can be that way.
More
next year. We'll see what we can find out. Let's see. Are they? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And see, they celebrate, but they can't offer sacrifices. They're waiting for the temple to be rebuilt, not just restored, and for the Arabs to get out of their Temple Mount, which will probably never happen, because God's not going to have that temple built again, because he doesn't need it. It's not where he dwells. He dwells in heaven, and in, his spirit is in our hearts. So read all these things at your leisure, and think about them, and then maybe keep your little notebook or a file or something, put those in, and write down questions you have, and then sometime in the summer I'll say, hey, begin to email me your questions so I can see if I can find the answer. And maybe we can have somebody come in and kind of talk to us that's a Messianic Jew or somebody who is knowledgeable in this area, even that's not a Jew. So something like that next year. Okay. All right, so... Well, he would know more than I know, that's for sure.
Do we pick those up in August or September?
It's September, after Labor Day. Sometime after Labor Day, because, it's not the day after Labor Day, because usually we're gone the week after Labor Day. And if I use this study book, I think it was 8 weeks. They're ordering it for me, just one copy first, for me to look at to see if it's worth doing. Yeah. I read comments on it, and some were very good and one was not. But, some people don't mind posting their comments. This wasn't worth having. You just need to go to Scripture. And I thought, let me look at it and read it before I start saying we're going to use it. So, sometimes you need the very simple things, and if that's the only thing you're getting, that may not be enough. But if you have a leader or somebody who's, and you know how to go and look at other things, it just can be useful.
Right. Oh, yes. Is it Mark Travers?
Travers.
That has all those guns.
Uh-huh.
It seems like he talks a lot of Old Testament stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he might be a resource.
He might be, too. Mm-hmm.
And he goes here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we ask him for one time, they may go, are you sure? There's a lot of stuff to say. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what we can do. I'm getting somebody. Okay, good. All right, let me pray for us. And then we'll see you next week at the coffee. And then see you around. How about that? All right. Heavenly Father, I do thank you that we have been able to gather together. And Lord, I do hope and pray that this... short, small, not very deep study has whet our appetite to even more see, again, how your Old Testament is fulfilled in the New Testament in Jesus Christ and in your church. I pray that you would give us eyes to see that the Old Testament is so exciting, even though sometimes we read through these particular passages and just get bogged down and think, oh, but when we see how it points to Christ, it makes it come alive. And that's what you want, your Spirit to work within us and to teach us. So bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.